Alex Blum dreamed all his life of joining the elite Army Rangers, and he did just before he turned 19. Then, 4 months later, right before his first deployment to Iraq, he and some friends robbed a Bank of America in Tacoma. That surprising reversal from military man to criminal got his cousin Ben Blum curious about what happened on that day in 2006. So curious, he wrote a book about it. It's called Ranger Games, a story of soldiers, family, and an inexplicable crime. Ben Blum spoke with KUOW's Jeannie Yandel.
It was a takeover-style robbery. There were four guys inside the bank, two of them with AK-47s, two of them with pistols. Alex was the driver, and he was arrested shortly afterward to the utter shock and horror of our entire extended family. I spent the next 7 years or so trying to figure out how this guy that I'd known as a goody-two-shoes growing up, a very patriotic, idealistic kid, had gotten involved in something so utterly uncharacteristic, ending his lifelong dream in a flash. So Ranger Games is the story of trying to figure that out, and it took a lot of twists and turns along the way.
When you first decided you wanted to look deeper into what your cousin Alex did, what did you expect to find?
Well, the story that he first told us was that the Rangers, their job is to take down buildings, small facilities, and they, in order to practice those skills, would constantly run little thought experiments around Tacoma. They'd go into a Dairy Queen, they'd ask, you know, where are we, where's our infill? Where are we going to be entering this facility through? What are the red zones, places where we might be coming under enemy fire? And the plans for the bank robbery appeared to him as just another training exercise. So he told us that right up until the moment of the crime, he thought he was just engaged in the further process of gaining the skills he needed to survive in Iraq right before his first deployment. So when I first went into the project, I really thought of it as an effort to clear my cousin's name. I felt that he had been duped and manipulated by a charismatic superior, Specialist Summer, into participating in this crime, and that he had served prison time unfairly.
Well, you talked with the ringleader, this charismatic Luke Summer. What did you learn from him? What were those conversations like?
So Summer had a very different take on the robbery. He, after the robbery, claimed that he had staged the whole thing to gain a platform to protest war crimes that he'd witnessed in Iraq and Afghanistan. After that, he became involved in a whole host of other crimes, including trying to put a hit out on his own prosecutor. By the time that I began talking to him, he was medicated for bipolar disorder and told me that he'd completely transformed, that he now saw that what he'd done was crazy and he was a different person. And according to him, he had not manipulated Alex. Alex had willingly gotten involved in this plan, knowing that it was indeed a real bank robbery, and that was it. End of story. But Summer is notorious for making up stories. And in talking to him, I began to understand that he was certainly making up a lot of what he was telling me about. He claimed to have been a super hacker as a teenager. He'd written this whole memoir about his teenage super hacker career that increasingly seemed to be made up. And there were numerous other inconsistencies in what he was saying. So I had to weigh these two, in some ways, equally implausible stories against each other, one from my cousin and one from Summer.
Why wasn't it enough to just listen to the story that your cousin Alex had to tell about that robbery and have that be enough?
Right. In the beginning, that was my approach. I felt that my role was to support this guy that I knew and loved and that had suffered enormously for this crime. It ended his career and his dream and his relationship with the girlfriend he wanted to marry. I mean, it was a huge disruption. And I also believed him. He was telling what sounded to me like the truth, and very earnestly. He was really looking inside himself, trying to understand how this could have happened and what the nature of his role really was. So that was my approach for the first 2 years or so. But as I continued to gather evidence from other places, I started coming across more and more hints that there might have been another story lying beneath the one that Alex was telling me. I wasn't sure whether it was buried beneath all the trauma and just inaccessible to him. Like, you know, memory is notoriously unreliable when it comes to traumatic events, or whether there was something more willful going on. But Summer seemed to be my best chance of getting another glimpse at the nature of the relationship between him and Alex. It's really within that kind of deeply complex nuance of their relationship that the truth lies about how Alex came to be involved.
And I want to talk a little bit about what you did with those two conflicting stories that you had, but I want to get a little bit into that idea of trauma that you just brought up. From my reading of the book, it seems like Alex was pretty traumatized by his training to become a ranger, and that helped, if nothing else, kind of connect him better with Luke Summer. Is that right?
The training these guys go through is pretty extreme. That was what got me interested in Alex's story in the first place. He wrote an account of his training and of the Ranger Indoctrination Program, which isn't so much a training course as a selection process, that stunned me, both with its reflectiveness and with the extremity of what he'd gone through. So I was immediately sympathetic to the idea that he had undergone a radical change in personality after going through this radical training. It's an initiation ritual. It's designed to help soldiers cohere with each other and to separate them from the world that they came from before.
Well, only fairly recently, the Army changed the name of the program from the Ranger Indoctrination Program to something else. That word indoctrination is significant.
It is, yeah, yeah. And it's a somewhat alarming word, you know? You can understand why they changed it. I would hesitate to call it trauma entirely, what he went through. I want to perhaps reserve that word for what soldiers who deploy and are diagnosed with PTSD are suffering from. But there's no question that that experience changed him radically and opened him to the possibility of a deeply trusting, loyal relationship with superiors, with any superior, anyone who fit the template of the guys he was taught to respect and follow when he went through that process. And Summer fit the bill. But at the same time, you know, I think as civilians, we are so hesitant to step outside the trauma paradigm in understanding what soldiers go through. And that ended up being a real limitation in how I approached Alex's story. I think I was very hesitant to try to hold him accountable in any way for parts of what he did wrong that he didn't seem to be fully grappling with. And I thought I was doing him a service by supporting him entirely in his version rather than challenging him. But in the end, I think I was holding him back from growing beyond it.
I'm talking with Ben Blum. He's the author of the book Ranger Games. It's an examination of a bank robbery that happened in South Tacoma in 2006. Ben's cousin Alex was involved in the robbery. Ben, you have these two conflicting stories about what that robbery was, about why and how it happened. And you set out to clear your cousin's name, but you ended up going back and challenging Alex on the places where his story didn't match up. Why?
I came to see the story that Alex had been telling for so long of his involvement as a kind of a cage that he had built for himself. It was such a radical breach in his sense of who he was to suddenly be a convicted violent felon and bank robber that he struggled terribly to figure out how to incorporate the story into his life story. And he arrived at a way of telling it that kind of worked, or worked for a time. But I just, year after year, saw him retreat further and further into himself, saw him grow more and more embittered and resentful. And I came to see that as coming from the mismatch between this story that he'd been telling for so long and the more nuanced reality of what happened. I saw him kind of trapped by his inability to really own what he had done. So I came to view it as my duty, as someone close to him, as someone who loved him, to challenge him. It was one of the scariest things I've ever done, but it ended up being kind of transformational for both of us.
when you think about how scary it was to have to confront Alex with some of those holes, some of those untruths, I mean, what were those conversations like? I am imagining having uncomfortable conversations with my own family. I don't envy you.
I think it's someone that it's something that, that everyone experiences in one way or another. You know, someone in our family like gets in a drunk driving accident or loses their job after an incident at work, or you know, any number of things that end up hurting the person who did wrong worse than anyone else. And it's someone you love, you want to help them, you want to support them. How do you support them while at the same time recognizing that they screwed up and they have something to learn from? And you know, there's this Buddhist notion that my father, a practicing Buddhist, taught me years ago of idiot compassion, which just means basically enabling, providing unconditional love and approval for any form of behavior or neurotic impulse. And I just came to view what I had been practicing with Alex as a kind of idiot compassion.
I have to ask, why publish this? This sounds in many ways like a very intimate thing that you went through with Alex, and in some ways with Luke Sommer too. Why write a book about it? Why publish it?
It's a fair question. I think Alex's story is, in the end, a tribute to his courage and to our family's love for one another, as we all grappled very imperfectly with this terribly traumatic event. I did, at many times in this process, consider abandoning the book and dropping the project. I came very close to doing so, and probably would have if, in the end, I felt it didn't reflect the deep goodness that I saw at the core of Alex's character. I always saw the possibility of real goodness in him, and felt so much goodness at every point in our journey. So, you know, I expect it to be disruptive and painful for a number of the people who are involved in it, and I am sorry for that pain, but I think it's a story worth telling, and I think in the end our family can be proud of having wrestled as honestly and as we could with this like terrible event.
In the beginning of the book, you write really beautifully about sitting down with your uncle, with Alex's dad, and having lunch. I kept thinking about how he might react while reading this book. How does the rest of your family feel about this book?
Yeah. They've been incredibly supportive. My uncle Norm, I love him dearly. he actually just read it for the first time yesterday and had some very beautiful things to say about it. He felt that it had honored him and Alex and their bond. So I was nervous about that, but so far, so good. I have gained an enormous appreciation over the course of working on this book for our aspects of our family culture that were not apparent to me growing up. You know, I thought these were all hard-ass jocks with no hearts, but that's not the case. There's an amazing amount of openness and warmth that I've discovered in our family that I didn't know existed before.
One of the things that struck me about your experience of Alex's story and trying to figure out what actually happened versus how Alex told the story of what happened was just this idea of the stories we tell ourselves about the things we do, how we sometimes spin things. How do you think about the stories you tell yourself now?
Yeah.
The decisions you make, the things you do, the way you talk about yourself to other people?
I feel a lot humbler than I used to. I think it's part of getting older too. You start to recognize that, you know, the story you had about yourself when you were 25 completely fell apart, and the story you have about yourself now, it's probably going to fall apart too. You know, why should it be any different? But I've also gained a real appreciation for the way we kind of build ourselves from the rubble of the old stories that fell apart around us, like that the enormous value that there is in applying stories to reality. Reality is always too complicated to summarize in a story, but story is just the way that the brain has to get a grip on it. And you have to keep coming up with them. You have to keep making stories. So I love making stories, and I love learning other people's stories. And when a story shatters, it's just an opportunity for a new and better one to grow.
That's Ben Blum talking with Jeannie Yandel. He's the author of Ranger Games, a story of soldiers, family, and an inexplicable crime. The book tells the story of his cousin, who was an Army Ranger, who became a bank robber.